In the 4th century, a number of men and women left their busy cities in the Middle East and North Africa and headed into the desert, seeking to follow Jesus with the whole of their lives. They were the first Christian hermits and are known today as the Desert Mothers and Fathers. They generally sound like pretty prickly folks, and the stories we have of their lives are fascinating and often a little shocking in just how uncompromising they are. One of those ancient stories deals directly with our gospel reading this morning, and I'd like to share it with you. A wandering monk arrived at a small community in the desert and found all of the brothers there hard at work in the middle of the day. "What are you all doing?" he said, aghast. "Why do you work for the food that perishes? Don't you know that Mary has chosen the better part, to sit at the feet of the Lord all day without working?" The elder in the community heard this rather haughty comment, so he welcomed the new monk and gave him a book to read and an empty cell to sit in. Several hours passed like this, and then the monk who was reading started to feel a bit hungry. He looked out his window to see if anybody was heading to dinner, and seeing no one, he called for the elder and said, Father, are the brothers not eating today?" "Oh yes, of course they are. They just had dinner," replied the elder. "Well, why didn't you call me?" "You are a spiritual man," he replied. "You don't need this food that perisheth. We have to work, but you have chosen the better part. You read all day and can get along without food." Hearing this, the brother said, "Forgive me, Father." And the elder said, "Martha is necessary to Mary, for it was because Martha worked that Mary was able to be praised." So I love that story for its humor, but also because it shows that people have always been sort of struggling with this story that we heard this morning. If you wrestle with this text, you are in good company. People have been trying to make sense of it for thousands of years now. Jesus and his disciples are on the road to Jerusalem, and along the way, Jesus stops in at Martha's home. She welcomes him and gets busy preparing a meal for this honored guest. Meanwhile, her sister Mary sits at Jesus' feet, listening in rapt attention. Martha eventually gets a little tired of her sister's inactivity while she does everything by herself, and in clear exasperation, she asks Jesus to intervene and tell Mary to lend a hand. It's this very human, relatable story. All these centuries later, we can still imagine this scene vividly, I think, and maybe you can even think of a similar situation in your own life, where one person in a family or a team or an office was doing everything to get a job done while someone else was doing nothing. Martha's frustration sounds totally justified, and we can very well imagine Jesus responding with a gentle nudge to Mary. "Your sister's right, you know, you really should help out a bit. And I could too, in fact. Why don't we all get to work? We can talk more later." That would make sense, right? But that's not at all what Jesus says. His words are cryptic and puzzling. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." People have been wrestling with Jesus' words here for as long as they've been around. Because what exactly was wrong with Martha's behavior? What is the better part that Mary chose? What can Jesus possibly have meant about that one needful thing? Christians have long read this story as basically presenting two different ways of being in the world, an active way represented by Martha and a contemplative way represented by Mary. Martha then represents all those Christians living busy lives of action, and Mary, all those living quiet lives of study and prayer. According to this reading, it's better to be praying than acting, and better to be listening than to be serving, better to be set apart from the world than to be at work in the middle of it. That's, of course, the view of the monk who arrives at the start of that story from the Desert Fathers. But as that story showed, this view isn't really very satisfying. It's not very practical or realistic when it comes to most people's lives. And even more importantly, There's nothing in Luke to suggest that either of the sisters' actions, preparing a meal for a guest or sitting and listening at the feet of Jesus, is wrong. Both are clearly good things that the Bible consistently points to as part of being a disciple. Martha is practicing hospitality, welcoming a traveler into her home, feeding him, ensuring that he's comfortable and well cared for, and you can hardly find a more central Christian practice. Jesus and his disciples rely on hospitality in the villages and towns they pass through. They depend on people opening their homes and their lives, just as Martha has here. Our translation says that she was occupied with many tasks. The Greek word there is actually diakonia, or service. She is occupied with much service. Jesus describes himself as one who came to serve. So Martha is simply emulating Jesus, following his example in her own everyday life. It's clearly a good thing that she is doing. And Mary, on the other hand, is listening with her full attention on Jesus. And that's also clearly part of being a disciple. Sitting at the feet of a teacher is what a model student did in this time and culture. It's not something women were encouraged or often even allowed to do much of the time, but that clearly doesn't bother Jesus. He is glad to have this eager student listening to him and attending to his words. So there's nothing wrong with either sister's action. Serving others and listening to Jesus are both good and right things, both part of a faithful life. The Bible clearly does not mean for us to choose just one or the other. So why in this moment does Jesus particularly lift up Mary? I am certainly still wrestling with this myself, but here is something that helped me a bit this week. This story comes immediately after the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I find it sounds different when you remember that fact. Jesus has just told this story where somebody cares for a neighbor in a truly extraordinary way. The Samaritan tended to the man who was wounded by the side of the road and took him to safety and got him set up in an inn and took care of all of the costs for his care going forward, whatever they might be. He showed in no uncertain terms what it means to love one's neighbor as oneself, with brave and generous service. "Go and do likewise," Jesus said. We're supposed to take that quite literally, I think. We are supposed to go and do likewise. Yes, absolutely. And yet that's not all there is to life, following commandments and doing the right thing and caring for others. Life is also about enjoying the company of friends and resting in God's presence and basking in God's love. Mary and Martha's story, coming immediately after this parable, like in the very next verse, reminds us of just this fact. It is a dance, this life with Jesus business. Faith is so often reduced to a fixed set of rules, but it's much more than that. It is, as Terry's lovely prayer earlier this morning put it, a relationship. As soon as we treat faithful living as a static rule, Jesus points us in another direction. It's all about prayer and the spiritual life, we say. And Jesus points us to our neighbor who needs our care. It's all about serving others, we say. And Jesus reminds us to sit down and rest. Martha's doing a good thing in serving her guest, absolutely. And at the same time, her heart clearly isn't in it right now. There's more frustration than joy in her work. And I have to think that's maybe part of what Jesus means in lifting up Mary as choosing the better part in this particular moment. She recognized that right here, right now, she needed to pause and pay attention. Okay, this is not in the Bible, but I could very well imagine sort of an act two to this short story. Martha has set aside her work now and is sitting with Mary at Jesus' feet. They're all in deep conversation, these three friends, wondering about the kingdom of God and what it's like. They're laughing and enjoying one another's company when suddenly they hear a crash and voices shouting from outside on the street. Martha immediately stands up and heads outside to see how she can help. Well, Mary stays right where she is on the rug and keeps gazing lovingly into Jesus' eyes. "Mary, Mary," I imagine Jesus saying, "there is need of only one thing. Martha has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." It's not in the Bible, but it's a back and forth, a give and take, a dance, this life with Jesus. Different responses will be called for at different times, depending on the need, depending on the tune, and depending on our lives too. I don't know what you need to hear this morning. Maybe there are needs calling out to you, neighbors in need of your care, good and important work that's in need of your attention. And you need to hear Jesus' reminder to go and do likewise. Or maybe you've been doing likewise a whole lot lately, and your tank is running low, and you're serving others or working for justice is not so full of joy. And what you need is a reminder to pause, to rest, to sit and listen and bask in God's love. I am not sure just what you need to hear right now. All I can say is, listen. Ask God for what you need and keep your ears open, because one thing is for sure. God keeps on calling us, seeking us out, drawing us in, inviting each of us further into the dance. Thanks be to God. Amen.